In our Destination Canada series, Sandra Feeney takes us off the beaten track in Newfoundland. Welcome, Sandra.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you today?
I'm wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. How are you? We're glad that we're with you, and we're glad that you can hear us fine, and we can hear you as well.
That's great.
Sandra, it's a wonderful article. I really loved it. First, I get into it, and I'm getting to the serious part, and then I had to chuckle because your writing style is really fun. You cover the ground and get a bit of chuckle in there as well. You start this Newfoundland off the beaten track. You started out by saying the flight was surprisingly calm considering the weather conditions and that you landed without a fuss, but you were struck, however, by the jovialty of the passengers. They were really having fun, and it was like a comedy club, as you put it.
They were quite funny. There were a lot of Newfoundlanders were returning home, so that particular flight just had lots of guys who had been working on the oil rigs, and they were coming home, and they were anxious to get home. And Newfoundlanders, it doesn't matter whether they're in an airplane or on a boat or in somebody's home or you meet them on the street, there's something so special about them, and it really comes out in a lot of their humor.
Well, they're
and
Irish.
It's very refreshing. Now, if I can just add to that, sitting to my left as we were landing was a woman who had been out west for about a year.
Right.
She and her husband felt that they needed to leave the island in order to get some work and tidy up some debts and whatnot, and so they were part of that westward migration that's been happening. But she just filled with tears. We were approaching the runway. She couldn't speak. She was so happy to be home.
How wonderful.
And just as a little aside, I heard it said on the island two or three times that you always know Newfoundlanders when you get to heaven because they're the ones that are pining to go home.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, wonderful statement.
Yeah.
Well, now, the whole idea of this was to cover it by getting off the beaten track, as you say, and you started off with you spent a couple of days in the capital in St. John. Before heading off onto your trip, tell us a bit about that.
Well, St. John City is it's so peculiar. It's very hilly. It reminded me of being in San Francisco. It's that kind of a city with very steep hills, tons of old wooden architecture, and the houses are painted purple, turquoise, green, blues, hues of oranges, reds, and yellows. It's just like a rainbow city with these old houses. It has so much charm. And the city is loaded with places to eat and good museums and art gallery, a wonderful art gallery. One place that I especially enjoyed because it was quite new to me was the Geo Center. And that's really the big picture of how the planet came into being.
Right.
And of course, there's just amazing food. You can walk anywhere in St. John and feel safe. We were out daytime, nighttime. You can wander anywhere. And it's just, you just have this feeling of being totally safe and lots to see and do.
Well, and then you did something that I always try to do when I go to a city. In this particular case, you went on O'Boyle's walking tours, and I always try to take a city tour of some point because it gives you a better feeling of where you are and space within that city. And in this case, Michael Boyle, I guess it was it?
Oh, he was quite a character, and he did a lot of.
I hear you. Everybody's having little things today.
My lab outside.
Your dog is barking, and well, that's good because it fits our
black lab, and she likes to get into the act too. Anyway,
well, maybe let's set her. We heard her. She said a few words. We got her.
Yeah, Michael's tour was amazing because he did both a historical tour, but he also talked a lot about the characters.
Right.
He brought things alive. We walked for about an hour and a half. We were up by the governor's home, lieutenant governor's home, and then around the parliament places, and the churches. The churches in Newfoundland are wonderful. They're huge monstrosities, but they've very interesting architecture. And he has all the ins and outs and stories, legends, and it just makes the city come alive. That was a great way for us to start.
And you went to Anticrae's.
Yes. Anticrae's, a venerable institution, an ancient institution in St. John's, and you walk in, and it really is like walking into a 1920s or 30s hardware store, except instead
right.
of, you know, shelves and drawers full of hardware, it's full of food. And they make a lot of food. You can eat there. You can sit down, read a magazine, talk with people. It's quite an awful lot of fun.
Now, from there, you started on your off the beaten track, as you call it. And mm-hmm. you mentioned an interesting point that Newfoundland and Labrador have 18,000 miles of coastline. That's hard.
Yes.
That's hard to believe, isn't it?
It is hard to believe. And it's one of the things that struck us as we were driving around. You feel that you're in this vast, vast country, because in some places you're going straight ahead over barrens and you can see for miles. And if you're not driving where you can see for miles, you're on the coastal edges,
right.
where the land, the topography just weaves in and out and up and down. And so you get a sense that you're not traveling just from point A to point B 1 mile. It may take you 3 miles to get there because you're winding around the coast, and the landscape is drop-dead gorgeous.
Right, and your first stop was Belle Island, I believe.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And
this little island...
You say it's only about an hour's drive from St. John's, is it?
It is. Yeah. It makes a great trip from a great day trip from the city because it's easy to get to. Oh my goodness, I can't remember the name of the little port where we took the ferry to go to Belle Island, but it's, like I said, it's about an hour from St. John's, and a 20-minute ferry ride, and that in itself is wonderful. And it's good to talk with the men who are driving the ferries, because they've been doing this for years and years, and they have all kinds of stories about their ferry runs and about their communities. Anyway, on Belle Island, the main draw there is the museum, the Miners Museum. And we had a gentleman took us on a tour. He's passionate about the mines and has made a point to learn all kinds of things, and he has an amazing collection in his home about memorabilia that belonged to the mines.
Now, this is iron ore we're speaking
yes.
about, yeah.
Uh-huh. And so that was quite fascinating to go underground, and it really is like a city, tunnels, I think it's 75 square miles of tunnels underground. And the little portion that we walked through gives you a good sense of what the mining was like. And, of course, your tour guide brings those days to life.
Yeah, those conditions.
It was fascinating.
Yeah. And you also go on to say that there were three ships that were torpedoed by your U-boats during World War II.
Yes. And the ships are still there. We didn't ourselves, but it's quite popular for people to go and scuba dive on them. Of course, you're not allowed to take anything away, but it makes for a fascinating scuba diving adventure to go on these ships because they're still there underwater.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are a lot of... now, of course, they're sinking large ships rather than just scrapping them and creating these artificial reefs, which work quite well, actually.
Uh-huh.
Now, before you left, you mentioned that you stopped at Dick's Seafood Lounge.
Yes.
For a little fish and chips, did you?
We were starving, and it's a good thing they had good food because I think it's the only place on the island where you can eat. But it was great food, and all along the walls are plastered comments from customers over the years about their amazing fish and chips and other foods. Associated with the restaurant is also a lounge, and that's quite colorful, and there was quite a large mural on the wall that caught my interest. I didn't have time to write about it, but that was kind of fun. And again, you can strike up conversations with the waiters, with the waitresses, with the people who are standing behind the bar. Most of them have fished during their lives, or they have people in the fisheries, and you get a real up-close, front, and personal view of community life and what it's like to live there. But they're just so jovial and welcoming. It was quite wonderful.
Yeah,
and the food was good, too. It really was
great,
delicious.
Great feeling. Now, then you went to what? To the other side of Conception Bay, to what? Cupid's, Burgess, and Port de Greve.
Yes, those are three communities that are all within easy driving distance, meaning, well, one is Burgess and Cupid's are about 10 minutes apart. Port de Greve might be another hour, but they were each so unique. They were just so different. Cupid's has recently had a huge archaeological dig that they're very excited about, and this has brought a lot of interest to the community. And in their old schoolhouse, they've created a museum which has some amazing displays. And but also, as part of that museum, is a large room where they collect and sort and select and wash and clean and put away the artifacts. And you can see clay pipes that are 200 or 300 years old or more, and vases and all kinds of things. And the staff there are just so enthusiastic about what they have, and they want to share that with everybody. It was a charming community.
Tell us about the flag, if you will.
Oh, the flag. years ago, the women in the community got together and decided to make the biggest flag in the world. It's a British ensign. So they created this amazing flag. I don't remember the dimensions. We'll say 44 feet by 23 feet or something. Anyway, come to find out, they were a little bit short, like maybe an inch or two short of being the world's biggest flag. So they turned around and made another one, and it's just stunning. And for special occasions, they will fly it on the flagpole next to the church, and it is a stunning sight to see this huge, huge flag, British ensign, just flowing in the wind. It's a beautiful thing.
That's a great story. Then where were you off to? You went to Bruges?
We were in Bruges, which is close by, and that it looks like, how can I describe it? It's a fairy tale community, fairy tale village. It used to have one of the largest seal colonies in the world, and it was a huge, huge sealing station. And you drive in this community, and it really is storybook. It's very narrow streets. But there's many things to see in Bruges. I mean, we could have spent 3 days there and in Cupid's and in Port de Grave, and unfortunately we just had a day to cover almost all of them. But there's the Hawthorne Museum, there's the Lehman's Museum. Oh my goodness, I'm grasping here because there's so much I can see.
There is a lot. Let me just, if I may stop for a moment. To those listening, as you know, if you're close to your computer, you can go to ttrn.com and you can read Sandra's article in depth, and along with some really lovely photos she's taken. We're running a little short on time, but what we're going to do, because I wanted to cover the Irish Loop, but Sandra, I understand that you're planning to do part two of this as well.
Exactly.
And so when you come back, maybe we can continue, allow a little more time to continue the rest of this, because I really want to hear about the Irish Loop and some other things that you've written about. And also, just tell us, before we go, where did you stay while you were there?
My goodness, I'm terrible with names. When we were in the city, we stayed at the Narrows and Compton House. And in the Irish Loop, there was an amazing place called the Rendezvous Cottages on a cliffside.
Right.
And also, there was a husband and wife who were absolutely charming in Trepassy, who had a bed and breakfast, and we spent a night with them.
I think you call it the Northwest Bed and Breakfast. Huh?
That's it. Thank you.
I'll add one, St. Bride's.
Uh-huh.
In
Atlantica. St. Bride's is a funny place, because I'll tell you, you were in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, like after miles and miles of driving, there's a little community, and here's this restaurant and inn, which is also a garage. It's a kind of a gathering place for the community, this little restaurant. You can buy ice cream there, or chainsaw oil, or gas. It's kind of a one-stop shop, and you can also get a bed, which is quite delightful.
Sandra, thank you very much, and we're looking forward to hearing the rest of this story. We've got to run for now, and we'll talk to you again soon.
So lovely to hear from you.
It was nice to hear from your dog as well.
Okay, have a great
day.
Bye
for now, Sandra.
Bye-bye.
Bye.